Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. This is budget season at the state capitol in Sacramento, and in about an hour and a half, Governor Gavin Newsom will give an announcement that informally is known as the May Revise. This is the update that happens every year in May, an update on the budget message that was given in January. But we've had a transition in governors, and with that has come a transition in style. So listen to a little bit of Governor Jerry Brown from last year.
What's out there is darkness, uncertainty, decline, and recession. So good luck, baby.
All right. Now listen to Governor Gavin Newsom from last week.
Jerry may have said it a little too early. The skies are getting darker on the horizon. But I would be remiss if I didn't say the skies are darkening on the horizon, and we better prepare for that rainy day.
Do you agree with me? Difference in style there. Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler is joining us from the Capitol in the midst of preparations for the presentation today. So, Ben, the style might be different, but you can definitely hear the similarity there in the warning from the two governors.
Well, and that was noteworthy, and your timing is impeccable because I'm here in the Assembly Press Bay, and session has just now been gaveled to order, and so that's what you're going to hear a little bit of in the background today. Now, what was interesting about those two comments to me is Gavin Newsom campaigned for lots of very pricey, big, sweeping changes to California programs and investments, particularly for women, children, low-income minorities. And yet he is exhibiting some of the same caution and warning, even referring to lawmakers as over-exuberant, that Jerry Brown was known for doing as well throughout his time in office. And so I found that to be noteworthy in his remark last week. And yet, you're absolutely right. They have different styles in the way they say things.
Let's get to a bit of the numbers. In January, the governor proposed a $209.1 billion spending plan. Some of that was surplus money. Let's talk about how those bigger numbers might change today.
All right. So there, at the time in January, the governor projected a $21 billion with a B dollar surplus. And that was about $6 billion more than the nonpartisan legislative analyst, which is the state's kind of budget watchdog, projected or had kind of estimated it would be at the time. So a very large surplus, much larger than anything that Jerry Brown ever had to work with. And you'll recall he took office back in 2011 with a deficit that was larger than that surplus. But so it really allowed Newsom to propose what I kind of called a have your cake and eat it too budget. He was able to put extra money aside or call for, because this was a proposal and still is a proposal today, call for putting lots of money, extra money aside in the rainy day fund budget reserve. He was able to try to pay down some unfunded pension debts and other retiree liabilities. He was able to propose lots of one-time investments, and he was able to also propose some ongoing investments. Among the proposals he made were significant increases in higher education, $500 million, I believe, or so for the UC and CSU systems each annually ongoing around there, child care expansion, full-day kindergarten, moving toward universal health care through increased subsidies for middle-class Californians using the health benefit exchange known as Covered California, and expanding Medi-Cal to young adult immigrants living in the state illegally, and two additional weeks of paid family leave. So all of those proposals were in his January budget, and we'll see which ones stay there and which ones are going to be tweaked a little bit as we keep moving.
He's giving us some hints. Over the last week or two, he's been talking about increasing paid family leave. He's also talking about ending the sales tax on tampons and diapers. So he's moving the numbers around a little bit. What else, Ben?
Well, your timing is once again perfect in asking about the proposal that he had this week, or many of the proposals, including ending the sales and use tax exemption on diapers, also on tampons. The author of a bill for several years running to do that just walked into the press bay to join us, and it's Democratic Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez from San Diego. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
So this was a few years in the making for you. What do you think made it happen this year?
Well, you know, we've been working on this for about 5 years now. And I think one of the huge differences is we have a governor who has young kids in diapers. So when you start the conversation and he is responding in a way that he completely understands about the cost of diapers, it's a much different conversation.
And so the proposals included sales and use tax exemptions being ended on, or exemptions for diapers and tampons, expansion and childcare, and then some of the things reiterating that he proposed back in January, such as expanding paid family leave, which is going to be a pretty tricky battle, particularly on the job protected end with the chamber. But you know as well as I do that a lot of lawmakers in this chamber, you know, have proposals like this, and certain ones rise to the top and get done in the budget. The governor, previous governor, Jerry Brown, vetoed it, saying it should have been done through the budget process. Couldn't you have done this through the budget process last year if your ledge leadership made it a priority?
Well, it's not just that. Actually, on the diaper front, we tried to get diaper issues into the budget multiple years, different types of diaper initiatives, and often it was taken out at the very end by the governor's office. So it was kind of this circular problem. You know, even if I had the support of my House and even the Senate, at the end of the day, if the governor's not willing to agree to it in a final product, and that's what happened. And so, you know, we knew there was no hope to get the diaper tax under Jerry Brown, and that changed a lot, obviously. And on the paid family leave, it's interesting you said that the job protected issue is an issue, but we also have income replacement as an issue. And so I'm appreciative of the governor, and he really does care about kids and families, and this is clear from his budget. But we need to talk about who right now can actually take paid family leave of 6 weeks. It's great to extend it to 8 weeks or 6 months someday, but if people can't live on 60 or 70% of their income, and you can't do that if you're a minimum wage worker, then just providing additional time to take doesn't help them at all.
Well, for paid family leave, there's the two different parts, as you mentioned, the paid part, which the state can help work to increase, then the job protection, which brings the business community in. And you are in a big battle with the business community and businesses throughout the state over your bill in response to the Dynamics Court ruling, which governs independent contractors and who can be an employee. And you've been moving it through the process. You've got some large groups, including the Chamber of Commerce, in support. Can you update us on this bill and how sure you are that you can get a deal that brings everyone in this year?
Well, you know, I'm not sure we'll get a deal that brings everybody in. I'm sure that I'm fairly certain that we will either move a bill or nothing will change. If nothing changes, I think given the court decision, the Ninth Circuit court decision a few weeks back that says this is retroactive, makes businesses a little nervous. So they need to come to the table as well. We need to have a discussion, but we're not going to give away the farm. I mean, yesterday showed us we had a national Uber and Lyft strike where drivers are talking about their frustrations and having no control over the workplace, their hours, how much they're making. And this is really coming to a head, and we have to have a discussion. If you're a multi-hundred-billion-dollar company and you cannot take the responsibility to pay your workers, and that we as a state aren't serving as a safety net for people who are working full-time, something's wrong with that.
It really shows the gap. In California, you've got between folks with a lot of money and folks with not so much. That's going to be exhibited as Uber begins its IPO, and you know, I believe today, and that's going to bring a big windfall to the state, bringing us back around to the budget today. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And so, Beth, that is Democratic Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez of San Diego.
You know, one thing that strikes me to follow up on at some point with her, Ben, is that where she began the conversation saying that this governor, because he has four children and certainly has the experience of the cost of diapers, is more amenable to the legislation, the implication being if a bill gets to his desk, he's going to sign it. The flip side of that is that Jerry Brown had no kids. Now, Jerry Brown was saying this was a budget process item to him, but is she also suggesting that because he didn't spend the money on diapers the way this governor is, just out of the box, he would have had a different attitude about it?
That, I believe, is exactly what she was saying. And I've also heard people say it about the governor when it comes to preschool and childcare and other issues that families with young kids face.
Members.
Those were issues that I think from time to time, Democrats tried to get more money into the budget for once the budget started rebounding. And so that was something that Jerry Brown said, look, we'll take some each year, but it's going to be, you know, more of a challenge. I'm going to speak a little more quietly now because we're moving into the prayer and the pledge here in session.
I appreciate that, Ben, and maybe we should let you go for the day. Just one last quick question. Anything new, any new hints that you've picked up down there about what to expect in the May revise?
Other than what the governor announced on Tuesday with the diapers and the tampon sales tax exemptions and an expansion of child care beyond what he proposed in the January budget, we're still waiting. He's dropped tiny hints about very small projects. I think yesterday there was a controversial pesticide that his administration announced that it's banning, and he's going to put some money in the budget to help farmers transition with that. There was also $15 million that he announced for security at places of worship after the shooting at the San Diego area synagogue. But as far as big, significant items that are going to get, that are going to affect large numbers of people, we are waiting to see what he says at 10:30 this morning here at the state capitol.
All right, Ben, thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
That is Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler reporting from the Capitol this morning. The deadline to pass the budget, by the way, in California is June 15th. So there'll be a lot of legislative wrestling that will happen between today's announcement and June 15th. And again, there will be full coverage by the Cap Radio news team of the budget announcement today, continuing throughout the day. So stay with us at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.
We